Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys. We are back with Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Tell you, man, these allergies are not easy. I even did my Kenalog shot where I get a steroid shot once a year. Yeah, steroids. Man, pumping iron now. Now, it's a steroid shot to kind of decrease some of the inflammation, and I tell you, usually does a trick, but it's not this time around. Better not be COVID. Better not be COVID. Anyway, I got a poker tournament coming up this weekend. It's a poker charity tournament, and I've been playing. I'm not a big poker player, but I like playing poker and tournaments because I've only done a few, and I've been pretty lucky, so I'm really excited about that. So with COVID and the cases surging, some public officials are trying to warn us that they're seeing outbreaks in daycares. They're seeing outbreaks with little kids. We're seeing outbreaks in younger individuals. And in fact, in Michigan, there's multiple states. I think there's five states. Let me look this up. There's five states that have a surge. I think it's New York, New Jersey, Michigan. I'm sorry, I have to pull it up right now. Florida and Pennsylvania. So those are the five states reporting 44% of the nation's new COVID cases. Again, this is following a similar trend to what we had last year where Europe had to lock down and then the cases start to come to the East Coast and then spread to the West Coast. So I'm not overly alarmed by that because we knew that we were going to have a whole second sort of a reenactment of what happened or an encore of what happened last year. But seeing daycares, seeing schools become more of a focus when it comes to the virus and the variant is a little concerning, especially since there has been all this hype and all this pressure and this focus to keep people from partying, keep people from going to concerts, keep people from going out. California is going to reopen June 15th as long as their hospitalization rate is low. So the young people are going to get back together again. And then how significant are these cases? Are we seeing a lot of young people die of COVID? Not a lot so far, but as the cases go up, we might. So I've been asked, why are younger people getting infected now with COVID? They could have gotten infected before. It's a good point. All right, so why is that? So when this first hit everybody, you had a lot of vulnerable populations get COVID. Ones who had high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes. There was some debate on smokers versus non-smokers getting it. And people who were overweight and people who were older. So you saw a lot of older, more medically vulnerable people. You did have some young people get it. Don't know why, but they did, but it was rare. Now, maybe those younger people had stronger immune systems at the time. Maybe they were fighting flu. Maybe they had the flu shot. We think the flu shot might have been protected. Now, all of a sudden, here we are a year later. And many of the younger people looked at their younger friends who got COVID. And I was like, what? It was mild. It wasn't that big a deal. Do I really have to lock down? Really, are the masks really working? Plus, not to mention, some people are wearing the same mask for a year. How many of you guys have been throwing out your mask every day and replacing it with a new one? How many? No, you guys aren't. You're wearing the same mask. I know I have the same mask in my purse. I'm not wearing it. But I was digging through my purse the other day because I was looking for some gum. And I have my red, white, and blue gator. I wore that, I believe, Memorial Day or 4th of July. So that's how many months old? I'm not using it, but it's in my purse. So imagine if I don't have a mask and I go and grab that. That sucker is 6-7 months old that hasn't been washed because it's been in my purse. Even though it might not have been worn, it's got gum, it's got makeup, it's got all sorts of stuff on it. So maybe younger people aren't really wearing new masks. And maybe they didn't get immunity from the first round of COVID. Maybe it's not long-lasting immunity. And because this variant is a little bit more wily and can attach on with its mutations better, somebody younger that doesn't have long-lasting immunity from the first wave of COVID is getting the virus. And remember, many young people didn't go to the doctor. Many young people are like, if somebody thinks I have COVID, no one's going to date me. No one's going to kiss me. No one's going to sleep with me. So we might have had some skewed numbers when younger individuals who didn't have severe COVID didn't get tested. I'm telling you right now, I had a lot of young people call telemedicine with symptoms of COVID. And I said, can you go get a test? I want to recommend you get a test. Did they get one? I don't know. If they wanted to work, they might not have gotten one. Because I'm like, look, you can't work if you have COVID. You can return to work if you don't have COVID. They said, well, how does anybody know I even spoke to you? You know, there's some privacy there when you talk to a doctor. So they, you know, we ask the health department to let them get a test. We report to the health department as a person of interest, which I know freaks people out. But, you know, if we're trying to get them a free test, we make the recommendation for them to get a free test. But did many of the younger people get tested? So now here we are with younger people getting sick, trying to go back into the workplace. And employers are like, look, if you want to wait tables here, you got to get a COVID test before you get your job again. And so now that population is getting tested. So that could be another reason why we're seeing cases go up, because that population now has to go in and get tested. So it could be concerning, because either the variant wants to affect younger people, the variant can affect younger people, or just luck of the draw, coincidentally, younger people are now in the line of fire. What, though, is very interesting is schools have been opening up. President Biden's wanted schools to open up. We've had big pushes for teachers to come back. Are the kids coming back? Apparently, percentages are saying not a lot. I think there was one site that said 40, let me see if it was 46%. I need to double check which percentage. But they found that you still have a large amount of kids not going back to school, even though the school is open 5 days a week, and they are choosing the hybrid. Yep, there we go. 46% of public schools offered 5 days a week of in-person to all students in February, but according to the survey, only 34% of students are going. Now, why is that? We're going to talk about this in the next segment. Why are only 34% of students taking advantage of their school being reopened? 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing, then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I'm only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Take your calls, your questions, your comments. We got Daniel in the house working the dials, and big thanks to GCN for making the show happen. And thank you for you guys listening, because you could easily shut this off or not listen, or I don't know, whatever you guys do, block me on Twitter, however, and I'm glad you guys don't. We really, really appreciate you. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So, Biden's 100th day is supposed to be a big milestone in his presidency, because one of the things he had vowed is that schools would be open 5 days a week by his 100th day. Some of you have asked, when is Biden's 100th day? I believe it's April 30th would be Biden's 100th day. And we're seeing schools open up. We're seeing schools in my neck of the woods. Schools have been opening up. You know, they've been offering hybrid models. And we are seeing around the country online learning, virtual learning enrollment drop. Parents are like, get the hell out of the house, go. And I even told my kids, go leave. I mean, it was a Saturday. Last night, get out. You're bothering me. Leave me alone. They were arguing about something stupid. I got boys, you know, so the brothers. You know, so somebody pushed a cell phone, I guess, a little too far down the table, and he got accused of throwing some. You threw my cell phone. I didn't touch cell phone. Yeah, you did touch my cell phone. I'm like, boys, just get out. Go to school. No school on Saturday, Mom. I don't care. Go make a school up. Go find a school. Ask them to open up. And guys, go in and get the hell out of the house. So I've been kicking my kids out of the house a lot these days. So I cannot wait for them to go back. And my son, actually, even though campus is still closed at UNLV for much of his classes, he's except for labs, he still goes to the library to learn. You know, he can't learn at home because I'm singing, right, or the animals, or, you know, his friends are calling and maybe he doesn't want me to hear what's going on. And while he's still thinking about finding a place, you know, he'll just go and study. So many times I think kids do realize they do better outside the classroom. But I found it very, very fascinating, according to AP News, that the survey showing that even though 46% of schools were opened back up, only 34% of students actually went back. And it kind of varied on the grade level. So we're seeing a hesitancy of kids going back to school. Now, this is very interesting, and this is something that school districts are going to have to grapple with, because when I went to school, and I loved school, I was scratching at the door. I couldn't wait to get out of the house, and I even on a Saturday or Sunday, I wanted to be around school. I just liked being around the kids. I didn't want to hang out because I had chores to do, and my mom would yell at me, and my dad would yell at me, and you know, I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't like my siblings. I wanted to be in school. But school was closed, and for the most part, it was mandated. It was law. When my brother didn't want to go to school or somebody in my family didn't want us to go to school, my parents said it's a law. If you don't go to school, you get taken away. You have to go to school. We didn't have homeschool. We didn't have virtual learning. You went to school. If you needed extra help, we had something called special ed. We had a gifted program. I hated the gifted classes. I was in the gifted classes. I hated them. I really hated them because I wanted to be with my friends and make jokes. I didn't want to be gifted. So they had all these stratifications of students that they would separate students. But for the most part, you had to go to school. It was mandated. Then, 2020, we mandated no school. You don't go to school. We don't even want you on campus. If we see you walking around on campus, big no-no. And now we're trying to get kids to come back. Now, the average parent out there, I think, cannot wait to give their kids a, you know, swift kick in the tush. You know, not even bring the car to a stop and get out. I would barely stop the car when I already told them, all right, unbuckle and get the heck out of the car. Get out. But many parents, I think, are having different ideas. Now, could it be, as we just discussed, we are seeing more COVID cases in younger people. We're seeing outbreaks in daycares. We're seeing this variant affect younger kids. Could it be that? Could it be that parents are liking the fact that their kids are home? That there hasn't been a school shooting, thank God, in over a year. That their kid isn't getting bullied. And that they're spending quality time with their kid. You know, a lot of us moms, and not to stereotype, but I felt guilty working. I felt guilty dropping my kid off at school, me working for the day, then still working and dealing with patients at night and only seeing my kids 2-3 hours a day. Now I see my son who's doing virtual learning with high school. I get to see him all the time. Get to yell at him, put some pants on. Did you take a shower? Did you put some deodorant on? Clean up your room, do the dishes. I have somebody helping me with chores. I'm loving it. I'm loving seeing my baby at home. I'm like, hi, how you be? He's like, Mom, can I do class with you? I love school. Can I do class with you? No, Mom. So I'm like all excited. I'm all hovering. And so he could go back if he wants to, but he also likes, waking up right before not having to drive in traffic to get to school. Less car accidents, less pedestrian accidents. So I think some parents and I think some kids are starting to see this is kind of nice. So now what's going to happen with teachers and curricula and school districts? Are they going to have to mandate people going back to school? See, once you give people something, it's hard to take it away. Are school districts going to have that power? Are school officials, are city officials going to have that power of mandating people return to school? Now, my kid goes to Catholic school, so we got an email from the diocese, where the, I believe it was the principal, maybe it was through the diocese, saying, look, it's going to be next year, everybody back in class. We're not doing virtual. So if you want to go to the school, you're in school. Good for them. Good for them. I mean, they have that right to do that. My kid's going to be in college hopefully by then, but, you know, we're not doing the virtual. Which means it's extensive, it's extra work, it's extra money, it's extra time, and the kids aren't getting a very consistent learning. You learn very differently in class when the teacher can call on you and the teacher can help you and say, do you understand? They can engage. Virtually, I see what's going on. I'll like eavesdrop on my kid's learning. So my kid has his video off, right? So you don't see the cats and the dogs or what he's doing. And you hear the teacher call on somebody. All right, William. William? William, are you there, man? William? And then you hear some giggles. And then you hear him go, huh? What? Huh? Here, present. William, what do you think about answer number two? Where are we? Okay, there is no way these kids are getting the education they need virtual. We've discussed this. So I don't blame school districts saying, all right, guys, we're going to go back to pre-pandemic. We're getting you back in the classroom. But when you look at this survey, looking at thousands of students, if the schools are open and the kids aren't going back, is it that the families are really fearing COVID? Is it that the families are afraid that we don't know enough about COVID and long COVID that they don't want their kids to get the virus? Is it that the families don't want to take their kids to school because they have to go back to work and it's easier to just kind of keep everything the way it is? Is it that they're worried about safety? Is it that the kid is so grateful that they're not getting bullied in school that now they could go through school without going through bullying? I got to tell you, I went to 12 schools. And some days of some of the schools, I dreaded going because I was going to get bullied on the bus. I was going to get bullied in the classroom. I was going to have to eat lunch by myself, being the new kid stunk. I wasn't going to have friends. I was going to get picked last in sports, even though I really wasn't that bad. It's just I'm the new kid. You know, how good in sports can she be? And I hated going to school in some realm if I thought I was going to be bullied. And so I could see both. Now, I still love school. I still love being around school. So once I kind of got into my groove and, you know, got my mojo going, I loved going. But I hated being bullied. The girls were mean. Going into the bathroom was horrible. Going to gym, people were mean. So these kids going, Mom, I don't want to go back. Moms probably aren't going to put their kids back if the kid doesn't want to go back. So how do you catch everybody up? Remember last week there was a study that the average kid is a year behind in their schooling and their psychological growth, not only their academic growth, their psychological growth. So with that, if I could just say that, don't wait for school to reopen. Don't wait for, you know, the child to be found where they're lacking. Get some workbooks. Start working with them over the summer on things they could be behind. Have a conversation with the teacher or with the principal on where they think the kids should be and what you can do on your own to help the kids catch up. But even though I am for kids going back to school, and I know the teachers want them, and I think kids learn more, we have a reality setting in that the parents aren't that enthusiastic about their kids going back. And so how are schools going to deal with that? If schools do not want kids learning at different levels and kids falling off the curve, especially as we're looking at race and discrimination with race, if some races are unfortunately not going to be in a position or some demographics where they could return to the classroom and will have to do virtual and are at a disadvantage, we're going to start seeing huge disparities in learning patterns. If you have a child whose parents got their job back, they got to go back into their office, so the kid got to take their bus and go back to school, that child might be in a different demographic than somebody else that, you know, has to stay home or where the parent didn't get a job back. So I'm not sure what the school officials are going to do, but we thought there would be a lot more enthusiasm of kids going back, and we predicted this. I didn't think a lot of kids were going to go back because I think a lot of parents like their kids being home. Or these parents are scared about COVID still. 1-877-DR-NOTHING.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The White House continuing to push their new $2.25 trillion infrastructure plan. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo saying the U.S. has fallen behind and neglected key investments in infrastructure for too long. Raimondo also saying it will create jobs.
It's a historic investment in America intended to create tens of millions of jobs, rebuild our country's infrastructure, and position the United States to outcompete China.
The Treasury Department also saying President Biden's proposed 15% minimum tax on profitable corporations would affect far fewer companies than previous versions he campaigned on. The U.S. trade deficit continues to widen. It increased for the second month in a row in February to $71.1 billion from the $67 billion a month before. This is USA Radio News. President Biden looking into forgiving student loan debt.
President Biden has asked the U.S. Department of Education to conduct a legal review of the president's authority to cancel student loan debt. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona is expected to send the legal review to the president within weeks. White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain said Biden will make a decision at that time. Financial folks said it's not a question of understanding the complexities of the issue, but the ability to interpret the law. During the Trump administration, the Education Department talked about wide-scale student loan forgiveness also. The Department of Education at that time issued a legal memo that determined the president does not have the unilateral authority. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Parts of the country could see damaging winds, hail, and snow today as stormy weather moves in. A tornado threat is in effect for parts of Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi after yesterday's storm brought 60-mile-an-hour winds and large hail to Kansas and Nebraska. USA, you're listening to USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
In 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So many of the teachers have reached out and have said that as they reopen the classrooms, they have cleaning protocols. And they are spraying, and they're wiping, and they are disinfecting and aerosolizing and allowing, you know, or not allowing, but harboring an environment that is hopefully going to be as sterile as possible, full of alcohol and disinfectant and every sort of chemical you need to kill off viruses. And I'm looking at this going, Lord have mercy, what are these kids going to be breathing? What are the teachers going to be breathing? You know, I've shown you guys, I think, my hands. This was years ago with all the hand sanitizing and washing and germicidal spraying. No matter what gloves I used, my hands were raw. And I don't know what chemicals I got exposed to. My weight's not ideal. We know chemicals can be endocrine disruptors. I blame that. Okay, I don't blame the chocolate. I blame all the chemicals that made me gain weight. So, all right, maybe it's that. But our COVID process has done, I think, a lot of harm to the environment. We have not heard much from the environmentalists throughout this whole pandemic because I think they were kind of silenced. And everybody said, be quiet, we need to stop COVID to get our lives back in, you know, back online. But, I mean, look at what we've been doing, these masks. These masks are made of paper or plastic, and everywhere I go, I see masks on the street, I see litter. See, nobody wants to touch it because they think it's biohazard. And we're hearing that there's masks in the water. We're seeing birds get caught up and tangled in the mask loops. So one environmentalist said, this is what you do. You take the mask off. You rip off the loops or tie off the loops. Rip the mask in half. You're not supposed to touch your mask. You're not supposed to touch your face. And now we're supposed to process the mask so animals don't get in, you know, don't get tied up in it. You're not supposed to touch a mask. You know, there, when we undress after we operate, you wear clothes on, obviously, but you touch, what you touch is a very small amount of it. You undress when you take the gloves off, you take them very carefully so you don't touch any contaminated surface and you throw it out. Well, I'm seeing people, man, I'm seeing people just throw stuff on the ground, they throw stuff in the water, and then the sprays. You know, I see in hair salons, there's, I think it's called Barbicide, and so there's these sprays that you use that are basically, or Clippercide, to sterilize after, you know, people use an area, and then you soak in the Clippercide, just like you soak medical instruments and things like that. What are we breathing? Look at all these chemicals. And why are we doing such a sterilization? Why are we trying to make it hospital grade? Well, because people were afraid of COVID. I'm also afraid of MRSA, methicillin-resistant staph. I think there's strep bacteria. There's a lot of things out there that, you know, I believe warrant care. And so I would keep my office as clean as I could from a medical standpoint. But you can't stop every bug. You also have to be careful because you can grow super bugs. But we did this because we were told that you could get COVID off of surfaces. So I'm seeing people Lysol their groceries. How is that safe? They're wiping down their groceries. They're wiping down everything. They're using sanitizers. They're using alcohol all the time. Now, we were told this because there were multiple studies saying that it could live for 3 days. There was one study done on a cruise ship that found the virus lived for 17 days. Do I think the virus lives on a surface? I think the potential is there. I do. We know HIV could live on surfaces for a small amount of time. Hepatitis C could live on surfaces longer. Yes, I do believe that it could live on surfaces. But I also believe that this COVID virus is much more infectious aerosol. So a person touching a surface and then picking their nose or trying to get it into their mouth and then breathing it in, I think is a much less likely mode of transmission than somebody sneezing or coughing on you. Well, finally, we have a study that is starting to clarify things a little bit more, so maybe we don't have to soak ourselves in bleach. And we have been told from the CDC that there is less than a 1 in 10,000 chance of you getting COVID from a surface. Now, mind you, 10,000, 1 in 10,000, that's still a number higher than 1 in 100,000. But we might not need to be as environmentally disfriendly as we have been, freaking out so much about COVID and surfaces. They say COVID-19 is a respiratory disease, but If you do touch a surface, touch your eye, we know it could enter the eye, nose, mouth, you could get infected. But they suggest that the risk of SARS-CoV-2 infection via fomite transmission is low. Call it fomite transmission. Generally less than 1 in 10,000. So you have less than 1 in 10,000 chance to get the infection if you touch a surface. So they cited studies, and study had shown that indoor surfaces like steel, glass, plastic does not harbor the virus more than 3 days. Porous surfaces like money can, which is why you're starting to notice that many businesses are going cashless. That is going to be crazy if we go cashless and coinless and rely on computers for our money. I get very nervous by that. I like to have money in my hand. Even though I don't have a lot of it, I like to have money in my hand. So when we look at what we've been doing, we've been idling in cars for pickup. I thought we don't want to be using our cars. I thought we would rather shut the car off, go inside. No, we're idling in cars sometimes for half an hour to get our vaccine, to get our COVID test, to get our pickup. Well, what's that doing to the environment? What are the masks doing to the environment? What about the paper? We're using trees to make all this paper. Toilet paper, paper towel. I bought a bunch of paper towel. I bought a bunch of toilet paper, right? I mean, we did that because we thought there was going to be, you know, a shortage. But I have been paper toweling so much more. And I look at the garbage and I look at all that paper. Aren't we trying to save the trees? Aren't we trying to save environment? We went from using a reusable, recyclable menu to a paper menu that they could rip up, because they didn't want to have to clean the menu. So we were expecting that somehow the powers that be would have to kind of change the narrative and say, look, guys, you know, we don't maybe have to do everything disposable. In fact, I think Starbucks is trying to do a reusable cup. I think you could pay an extra dollar or do a dollar deposit, so you get a cup and you get to come back with that cup. Smith Center, it's an arts symphony venue, they do something like that where you buy a cup, it's kind of expensive, and then you just keep bringing the cup back as opposed to them giving you cups. It's a great way for them to make money and save money on cups, but it's, you know. So we're going to have to go back to recycling. We're going to have to go back to reusing something so we're not wasting paper. We're not polluting the place with masks. We're not idling in cars for hours. We're not spraying chemicals that, even though the EPA is okay with a bunch of products, and I'd written a paper on this, I'd written something on this in terms of what the EPA, you know, finds okay, or it wasn't even the EPA, it was, I think, Consumer Working Group. It was one of the watchdogs that's looking at the environment on which aerosols are worse for the environment. But all this spraying and everything we've done, I wonder what is it going to do to the environment. Now, some of you have said, Dr. Dahlia, it's okay because we've had less traffic. If we have less people go outdoors, we have less traffic, less pollution. Good. Maybe we offset some of it. But people are going to want to leave the house soon. People are going to want to be driving soon. And if masks are here to stay, and if cleaning and aerosols and germicides are here to stay, we better rethink what we're doing. Because the more you clean a surface and the more you try to sterilize, the more you breed bugs that want to outsmart that. So, 1 in 10,000 chance. It's still there, but we might not have to be aerosoling and having the kids breathe all this stuff in the schools. 1-877-DOCTOR.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Hello, I'm a bald person. Which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not so convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
All right. guys. We are back on Dr. Dolly. The show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. 1-877-DOCDALI. So we are on the eighth day of testimony in the Derek Chauvin case on if he used deadly force on George Floyd. And there has been a variety of witnesses coming up to the stand discussing the force that Derek Chauvin used that could have contributed to George Floyd's death in May of 2020. And Los Angeles Police Department Sergeant Jody Steiger testified that, quote, no force should have been used on Floyd after he was handcuffed and in the prone position. Prone position is when you're on your stomach. Supine is when you're on your back. He said Floyd did not appear to pose a threat to the officers at the scene of his arrest during the 9 minutes and 29 seconds Chauvin had knelt on Floyd's neck. He said Floyd was in a prone position, handcuffed, not attempting to resist, not attempting to assault the officers. As he was not actively resisting at the time, Steiger said he did communicate that he was attempting to resist, or he did not communicate that he was attempting to resist or evade them. Now, the defense is going to show that there was a resist to arrest while he was handcuffed with him not staying in the police car. But the focus of the trial is why was that hold used, and why was it used when he was restrained and not thrashing anymore and for 9.5 minutes. Steiger made these remarks on the eighth day of witness testimony in Chauvin's trial. As you know, Derek Chauvin has been charged with second and third degree murder, as well as second degree manslaughter. He has pleaded not guilty to all charges. So Steiger, based on his review of video associated with the case and other relevant documents, testified Wednesday that Chauvin's kneeling on Floyd's neck for nearly 10 minutes constituted as, quote, deadly force. He said the pressure that was being caused by the body weight could cause potential asphyxia, which could cause death. So you're going to hear the term positional asphyxia. Positional asphyxia doesn't necessarily mean we're putting our hands around a person's windpipe. It could be putting your body into a certain position that causes oxygen deficiency. Now, Steiger said this is a well-known risk in law enforcement. Now, Steiger is an expert witness for the prosecution. He did throw cold water on the defense's argument that a crowd of bystanders who witnessed Floyd's arrest was unruly and therefore could have impacted the officer's actions. Now, Steiger said, I did not perceive them as being a threat, saying that the bystanders were merely filming the arrest and most of their comments were related to the concern of Mr. Floyd. So there was, if you do watch the video, if you do watch the later video, there's, you know, people screaming at Chauvin saying, get your knee off his neck, get your knee off his neck. He's not breathing. We could see him. He can't breathe. And other officers tried to keep the crowd away from Chauvin. And so, again, the question is why didn't all four officers put him back into the car or ask Chauvin to not use the knee? What happened? Why was it looked like, you know, this was something that wasn't shocking to the officers. And so the defense is trying to portray that, you know, if they couldn't restrain him by regular means, they restrain him until the paramedics come. And so that's where there's going to be this debate. At one point, the prosecution presented a document that showed Chauvin had completed 866 hours of, quote, continued education, training for the police department during his 19-year career with the force. Steiger said that amount of training absolutely should have prepared him for how to appropriately carry out his arrest. Now, the defense is saying he had methamphetamines on board. He had fentanyl on board. He was having a medical event prior to the restraint. Could he have, but then again, the argument would be, should the police have then interfered and started CPR? Intervened. The Hennepin County's Medical Examiner's Office's autopsy report classified Floyd's death as a homicide and said it was caused by cardiopulmonary arrest complicating law enforcement, subdual restraint, and neck compression. The report stated Floyd had fentanyl and methamphetamine in his system when he died but didn't draw a causal link. So during cross-examination, defense attorney Eric Nelson played a short clip of his arrest that was recorded on a body camera, and Nelson then asked Steiger whether it sounded like Floyd had said, I ate too many drugs in that clip. Steiger said he couldn't tell. It wasn't immediately clear what Floyd said in the clip, and the prosecution did not appear to object during that exchange. between Nelson and Steiger. So the much of the media is giving, you know, reports this because the prosecution is bringing their witnesses on. You are going to see a more focus of the testimony of the prosecution and not as much focus on the cross-examination. As a doctor, I am very intrigued by how this plays out, because police officers may be deputized to start using chemical restraints by using ketamine or medications if physical restraints are ruled to be too barbaric, too dangerous. And so that could also be a concern where an officer gives ketamine or gives a chemical medication or a pharmaceutical to sedate somebody so they aren't thrashing around, and then unfortunately somebody could die. You know, if George Floyd was starting his medical event prior to the restraint related to the methamphetamine or possible overdose from fentanyl, and he was going into respiratory depression, could adding more pharmacological agents on board affect that or hasten it? So how police move forward from this is going to be very controversial. And many medical professionals, I mean, it's very easy to watch the video and go, what Derek Chauvin did was ridiculous. It was unexplainable. 9.5 minutes makes no sense. But if we have testimony and we have evidence saying, look, they couldn't control him and they needed to restrain him, then there is going to be discussions on proper ways to restrain. And if people in the police force say, look, we agree with what Chauvin did wasn't right, but what do we do with somebody who is overwhelming us and won't, despite the handcuffs, won't stay in the cop car? What are we allowed to do? And we're hearing that in some districts, in some departments, they are allowed to give medication. That could open up a whole can of worms also. You know, is police enforcement allowed to give a medication to sedate? What if the paramedics take so long? Was this 9.5 minutes because it took that long for the paramedics to come? What, you know, it leads a lot of medical, it opens up a lot of medical questions, and I'm very intrigued in the medical testimony on what happens. I mean, we are seeing debacles happen in school districts where you have a child that is thrashing around, either having an anxiety attack, having maybe an emotional outburst as they have autism, and you'll see principals restrain them or try to restrain them until police come. And one police officer or one principal, I believe, used zip ties so the child wasn't thrashing around and hurting other people and knocking things down. But then I believe that principal, I believe, got fired or got in trouble or charges brought up against him because he restrained the child. We have a lack of protocols and plans in place on what to do to prevent people from hurting themselves. You cannot allow a child, or you cannot allow a person in your custody to flail, run out into traffic, get run over, hurt themselves. If they get hurt while in your custody, you are in trouble. But then if you restrain them inappropriately and they end up dying under your care, again, inappropriate as well. So this is going to be, like I said, a very controversial. This is going to lead to many new protocols within police departments that might be, unfortunately, controversial and cause issues themselves. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. 1-877-DOCVELLY.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease.
GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.